The Just Podcast is brought to you by ReCity Network. ReCity is the Triangle's hub for social impact. If you're interested in learning more about ReCity, start by booking a tour at recitynetwork.org. recitynetwork.org is also where you can go to subscribe to their monthly newsletter or make a donation to support ReCity's work. The website, again, is recitynetwork.org.
From the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, in conjunction with ReCity and Coastal Credit Union, you're listening to Just, stories about the people working to build thriving communities rooted in justice. I'm Jess Averhart, co-founder of Black Wall Street Homecoming.
And I'm Rob Shields, executive director of the ReCity Network.
All right, look, so here's why we're here. We're here to get proximate, we're here to listen, we're here to process, and we're here to help you process.
But here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to be preachy because we don't have all the answers, and we will never make you feel like an outsider.
Keeping with the theme of sharing, we always want to acknowledge the whole person, and that starts with our personal check-in.
Let's do it.
All right, Rob, We're at that time. I love this part.
How are we doing? We're here. We're alive.
We are. We are that.
We made it to another day.
Yeah.
Oh, I think winter in general, what I'm telling people is the person who invented daylight savings did not have toddlers. Because goodness gracious, whoever thought it was a good idea for it to get pitch black at 5 p.m.
That's actually a good point.
Right?
Yeah.
That's 3 hours I've got to kill before I put 4 toddlers to bed.
That's right. It's messing them up. Is it like the circadian rhythm?
Kids don't get more tired as the day goes. I get more tired. So we're at this inverse graph, right? I didn't do good in geometry. So I'm not sure where it is, but I'm going down. They're going up to bedtime. And so I'm literally drinking a Red Bull on the way home some days.
Oh my gosh. Because
I need to peak
o'clock?
At like 4:30.
Dude, we need
best.
The spring to get here for you and your household.
Now, if my kids listen to this, you know, 10, 20 years from now, I love them. I love them. I love you.
Yes.
You've done great.
But you are taxing us at this point.
Right now, you are wearing me out. You are wearing me out, and I need caffeine to get there.
I get it. Listen.
How are your holidays?
Well, listen, holidays were great. It's always the time where I feel like this sort of intersectionality of people's like actual crazy and their mystical like Norman Rockwell life hits
the painting comes alive.
Yeah, it all comes alive and we're all so happy and I love it and I buy into it every single year. So I did again this year and also learned about a little bit more about this the number one app that's out there right now called TikTok. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well,
tell me more.
Well, my son is, you know, is 17, and so he is avid on TikTok. And so my mother, so for all of you out there, just imagine this. My mom is 5'4" and she's a little white-haired white woman. 5'4", white-haired white
Tracking
woman.
With you. Yep.
And she has on like a hoodie and sweatpants and she's like all the things. And she comes over, my son is like on trying to do this dance move and my mom goes, "Oh, are you on TikTok?" My mom, she's 69 years old. And I didn't really know about it. And Trey goes, "Yeah, this is TikTok." And she's like, "Show me."
Surprising bonding.
She goes,
moment.
"Show me." Yes. And so they learned this dance. And Trey did it. It was probably like 8 seconds long. And this thing is viral. It's almost 700,000 views.
This video.
Trying. Yeah. In the last, not even a week. It hasn't even been a week. So 6 days, 700,000 views. And my son gained 10,000 new, what do you call it? Followers.
Wow.
Right? So, I mean, you know, it's
your
been.
Mom need to capitalize
my mom
on this,
has created her 15 minutes of fame. No, my mom is like really feeling herself. She's into it. She's like, she's telling my son that they need to do more of them and create a series. It's great. So
she's got a little taste now.
She wants more of it. It's pretty great. So anyways, that's my check-in. You know, social media is constant surprise.
I feel like you've set a really high bar for my future holidays. It's not meaningful unless I produce a video where there's almost a million hits on it.
Oh, yeah. Nothing short of that. Yeah, I'm quite sure he'll hit a million in the next week or so. It's like really
I need to watch
thing.
It. I guess
yeah, I'll
I
send
need
it to
get,
you. Okay. I don't know why I didn't send it to you.
I
I'll
need
send
to
it
see
to
this.
You. Yeah.
Apparently, I need to catch up with the rest of the world. I'm not cool, so
making
I'm always
note.
Playing catch up on what is
you can do this instead
relevant.
Of your Red Bull. Just watch my 69-year-old mother.
That sounds like a really safe combination, right? Drinking Red Bull on the way home, watching a video, right, while driving.
Yeah, that's it.
That's
no, it. No danger.
Yeah,
no danger
of course,
involved.
Of course. So
let's talk about justice.
Yes.
So this podcast is called Just. I mean, that's powerful. It's just as I was saying before we went live, I was like, just. It was like, yep, just.
Yeah.
So let's talk about justice. You want to define that for us? What does that mean to you?
I think that that is really a really important place to start of what the phrase justice even means. Because again, back to this polarization, we all have different definitions for things. And then we see the world based on those definitions. And sometimes those definitions can be incomplete, or we're misunderstanding concepts, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think to boil justice down, I don't have a PhD. A lot of this is borrowed from my own reading and my own experience.
You are one of the most well-read people I know on this subject.
I just want to make that disclaimer, yes, just to avoid the future lawsuits of people saying, hey, no, you know what? This is not mine. I did not come up with this. Yes. Anything that is gold from me is borrowed. A working definition for justice is to give people their due. To give people their due. So there's two sides of that. One side is the side that I think we go to sooner when we hear the word justice is like the negative, which means when someone does something wrong, they need to be stopped. So criminal justice. I think a lot of people track with, when they hear the word justice, they think of the criminal justice system, which is more of the punitive side.
Yeah,
of
it's
justice.
Fascinating because that is not my first inclination.
It's not yours.
Justice. It is not negative. It is fascinating. Go ahead.
We'll have to throw up a Twitter poll maybe at some point and be like, hey, what is your
initial reaction
to justice? Yeah. Is it the punitive? Is it the negative? Or is it the positive? Because there is another half of justice, and I think we tend to fall off the horse one way or the other in thinking about the negative first or the positive. And the positive, which is the one where I think we're going to camp out and spend more of our time. We probably will go back and forth. But the positive side of justice is to lift up and care for those who have been marginalized. Because the reality is justice is both retributive and restorative.
Yeah, love it.
It's both individual and it's social. So justice is a complex term. And I think that what we're going to try to spend our time doing in the interviews that we host and the conversations we have is let's flush out and talk about what this looks like to be lived out. Like who are people who are lifting up and caring for people who have been marginalized in our communities, right?
Yeah.
How do we, who is living out this idea of justice that restores, which is what I'm really excited to do because we both know those people. They're doing amazing work.
Yeah.
And we got to really celebrate that work. Because otherwise, we're just left in this negative cycle of let's criticize what's not working and let's just point fingers all the time. And that's never progress. Nothing ever moves forward because that's not a solution. That's just criticizing. And it has to be this both and. We need to talk about the problem for sure.
Right.
But we can't be paralyzed and stay there. Mm-hmm. And so I think this idea of really shining a light on people who are trying to pursue this restorative justice in their own lives will help us all move forward.
Yeah. Yeah, when I think about justice, it is so complex, right? But it simply for me boils down to fairness and equity. Just this space of fairness. So what I don't always think of it as negative, although I recognize that most people will go there.
Right.
For me, it's this place, this like holy place that is neutral and is allowed for all voices and everyone to be heard in that space. And out of that is an equitable outcome, a fair outcome, a place that there is real balance instead of, like you said, this 400-year systemic tree that has skewed that opportunity.
Where
to
everyone
sit
has
in
not
that.
Been given their due.
That right. Entitlement. And let's use that word in a way that doesn't feel white privilege, but like we all are entitled to justice. We're all entitled throughout our life to have the opportunity to be in a space that is fair and equitable.
Right.
I'm entitled to that. Everyone is entitled to that.
As a human being, right?
That's right. We're humans.
You have inherent worth.
Yes, yes. Now we all understand all of the inputs and the variables that push on that. But at the very basic for me, that's justice. And so as we think about, as you talk about these marginalized communities, that cup is not full for them. And that's what we want to focus on is bringing a light to it. And our community, I think we can all appreciate that. I, as a Black woman, have a whole lot of privilege in the space that I walk in every day. But at the same time, and at times, my cup is also not full.
So, you can experience what it feels like to be marginalized.
Oh, absolutely. Well. Absolutely. Yep. And I'm raising a son who is 6'5" and at any given time can be mistaken for a 26-year-old black man that is threatening, right? Mm-hmm. But he's a 17-year-old boy, you know, and he's my son and he's precious to me, but he's not seen as that to others. And mm-hmm. I'm aware of that, chronically aware of that.
You hear me talk about Brian Stevenson a lot as someone that I see as a mentor from afar, right?
Yeah.
I don't know him personally.
Amazing.
Would love the privilege of getting to know him, but follow his work with the Equal Justice Initiative. You know, the movie Just Mercy's coming out.
Yeah.
We're here real soon in theaters. Read the book. It's incredible. But one quote from that book that really has stood out to me that I think is a good summary of this. He flushes out this term justice. He says in the book, "The true measure of our commitment to justice cannot be measured by how we treat the rich, the powerful, the privileged, and the respected among us. The true measure of our character is how we treat the poor, mm-hmm. the disfavored, the accused, the incarcerated, and the condemned."
Mm, amen.
I mean, that's it. That's the measuring stick that we're going to talk about. I was like, how are we doing there?
Yep.
How are we doing as a society? How are we doing as a community there? Let's look local, even though these issues don't have to stay local.
Mm-hmm.
You could be listening all across the world, and there's ways that this can translate for you, because there is injustice is everywhere.
Yeah.
Which makes, we want to challenge the pursuit of justice everywhere. And so we're going to dive deep into some really meaningful and also really complicated issues here when it comes to justice. And I'm excited to do that.
We'll bring you more Just Podcast right after this. Yeah. Well, you basically just answered the question I think our listeners might be curious about, is like, why this podcast? Mm. Why now? You know, what's the pull for you?
I think the reason this podcast matters right now is because of what I just spoke to. People, myself included at times, I can be guilty of this. I think we all can be. We're making our minds up about how we feel about social issues mm-hmm. in a vacuum. We're doing it really quickly. In the Twitterverse, right? We're taking that tweet, and if it enrages us, we're retweeting it, we're liking it, and we're just getting stuff brought to us. The algorithm is working mm-hmm. to just give us more of what causes more angst. So we end up, it's tribal, it's very polarizing, because we just surround ourselves with people who think like us and can fuel this angst,
yeah,
right? Or this demonization or this othering of people, right? And that combination perpetuates injustice.
Yeah.
That allows injustice to continue because we're not coming together to figure out how we collectively solve issues. I don't think communities can be just, and I don't think they can thrive if they're fractured. And right now, that's exactly what we are. We are fractured, and and we talk about this all the time. You're going to laugh when I say it, but like, we need to get proximate to what we don't understand.
Yes.
We need to get proximate to what we don't understand. We need to listen. We need to learn. We need to build empathy. And then we got to use that newfound knowledge and relationships to take action. This can't just be an intellectual exercise. It has to include that, but it can't just stay there.
Yeah.
We have to, otherwise we're intellectually obese.
Yeah. No,
all we're doing
that.
Is consuming
that.
Knowledge That's and getting right. obese on it instead of actually working it out in our daily lives. And here's the thing. Like, I think that injustice is a tree that's been growing in our community for 400 years. And we have to dig it up by the roots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you think
That's
about
powerful.
What a tree, what is a, close your eyes and think about what a 400-year-old tree looks like. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's massive.
Mm-hmm.
Its roots go deep under the surface.
They really do. Yeah.
So what do
and
we do about
it? It's a staple. It becomes normal.
It's been normalized. That's right.
That's right.
Exactly and
right.
we revolve around it.
Yep.
Versus thinking that it could actually, it doesn't have
to
affect
be
us that way. It doesn't
well,
have to be that
right,
way.
Right. And that's not permanent.
But here's the thing, Jess. This is what can be really disheartening, is what keeps us from any type of action is oftentimes we get stuck in debating whether the tree's even real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we know what we mean when we say that.
Yep.
Like, we literally can't even agree on whether the tree is real and whether injustice is really happening, because it's not our own felt experience sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if we don't feel it, then it must not
that
be
must
true.
Might be true.
Because it's not my lived experience. And there can't be a situation that's out there that's where someone has a different experience that makes it real to them.
Yeah, I really resonate. That's a beautiful illustration, actually. That will stay with me for a long time. I love that. what I was thinking about my own, as you were talking, what I think is going to be so important about our time together and our time with our listeners is this idea of being open to being curious and training ourselves to learn. I mean, we all say we're learners and we read, and some people don't, we listen to audiobooks, whatever, but really, really taking the time with us to just be open to new ideas. Like you said, very vacuum mentality that we live in.
Right.
And we like, it feels good. It's comfortable. It's like eating a, you know, a plate of macaroni and cheese when someone tells you the things that you know to be true. It's comforting, but there's, that's not reality, right? We live in a world, we can clearly see this on the media and around us, in outlets where what I think to be true, what I've normalized, the tree that I see doesn't exist in other places. And we ask ourselves, how is that possible? How is it actually possible? How do you not actually see that? But then when you talk to somebody who doesn't see it, you can hear and learn and get curious around their, the connection points that they're making, and then be able to have a formative dialogue. And that's not happening because people haven't been trained to change their minds on issues and to learn and use that input to mold and adjust what they quote unquote know to be true.
Right.
And so I'm excited about this podcast because I think we'll be learning together and learning from our listeners and learning from our guests, and our minds will continue to grow and evolve. And that is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Like, we're here for a short period of time on this planet. We might as well take full advantage of it. All right. So why don't you set this up for us? We've talked a lot about our listeners. It's like they're sitting right here with us. But this is new. So what can they expect? I mean, we're basically just setting up our why.
That's right.
Simon Sinek, why are you doing this? What's the point?
They've heard a little bit, you know, from personally why
from
you
us.
And I are at this table.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
What can they expect from going on this journey with us?
Yeah. Like, what's this all about in real life? Like, why would I ever come back to this?
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that?
You know, as far as what people can expect, I think we've named a few of these things. They can expect a safe space to listen and learn.
Yeah. Soft landing is what I like to call it.
A soft landing. There we go. And I think that when you and I, you do a great job of this. I think so many of the nonprofits that I work with have been inspired to do the same exercise, you know, of doing this value sort.
Yeah.
Like looking at, and we did that for this conversation.
That's right.
Like, what are the values that are going to drive everything that we do?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in value sort, folks. So what Rob is saying, if you don't know your own core values, like, what do you stand on? Like, no matter how much the wind blows either way, you stay firm in the center of your core values. Like, if you don't know what those are, you should do an exercise, go online and do a value sort or a value exercise to determine what those are. And do it with your family and your kids. I do it with my son a lot.
It's so good. And it will enhance all of your relationships when you know thyself, right?
Right. That's it. And to thine own self be true.
That's right.
If you don't know yourself, how are you true to yourself? Let's get real.
Yeah, we've done that individually, but we've also done that collectively for this.
And right.
So we've named some shared values that really, that Venn diagram that tie us together for these conversations that I think people can expect us to, obviously we're going to be talking about justice. It's in the title, but other ones you may not have picked up on or may have missed. It's going to be community centric.
Yep.
Right. It's going to be tied to community. This might have implications at a macro level, but it's going to be homegrown and grassroots feeling and shining a light on people on the ground within the context of our communities.
Yep. And it's also, we're also going to talk about bridge building. This is a lot of what we just said, this whole like crossing the chasms, right? And having conversations that are difficult.
They feel super wide right now.
They feel really hard,
Holy smokes.
You can do it through this dialogue. That's real bridge building.
What does it look like to be a bridge builder?
Yeah, not just in the podcast world, right? Like where we're talking about it and the safety of your cars or whatever you're doing, but then taking that out into the community and say, I'm going to test this theory. I'm going to have a conversation in a unique way that I would not have normally because I feel like I have the tools to do it through this dialogue.
Yeah. I think we're going to try to be fair and impartial, which I know we can't do perfectly, but we're going to strive for that. We're going to strive to create fair and impartial space that doesn't feel tribal, honestly.
Yeah.
And that's to me what gives me so much hope about the two of us coming together. We're not clones of each other.
Right.
We have different lenses on some things, but we also respect each other.
Yeah.
And we're going to respect every conversation and understand that there may be strong convictions that people have that may be shared that lead to different outcome or different prescriptions on how to solve things.
Yeah.
Or different political or policy
That's
implications,
right.
and we can agree to disagree. And I feel like we've lost that art.
Yeah,
we don't ever end sentences that way.
That's right.
We end them with "You're dead to me."
That's right. That's so true.
And you're canceled.
Unfriended, right?
Yeah, you're unfriended. Not hey, let's just agree to disagree and let's move on into other things, or let's come back to that.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to try to avoid that type of attitude and perspective. What kind of stories are we going to be telling, Jess? That's another thing. What can listeners expect as far as the type of stories we're telling here?
Yeah. So from my vantage point, from Jess Speak, this is like the raw and uncut version. This is asking those questions that are provocative, right? Talking to people that we admire and care for and really enjoy the work that they're doing. They're inspiring communities, right? And because they're inspiring communities, they've inspired us personally. So those stories are going to be real.
I love that. To hear, I think just to, I'm just going to repeat what everything said because it was beautiful. I want to make sure people don't miss it. I mean, we're essentially going to be educating people about issues they may not be aware of. We want to increase that awareness. We want to shine a light on what's working.
Yeah.
Solutions oriented, right? So people don't feel paralyzed by the problem,
right?
But they can take a step, and we're going to talk about that in a second because I love you. Got a phrase that we're going to coin and copyright here that inspires action, but all of that through the context of really amplifying and centering voices that have been marginalized, and that's what I love. I think we're using our platform here to shine a light and to cue people up and create a bridge. We're going to be bridge builders between worlds almost, where you're going to hear from perspectives that you may not otherwise come across in your daily life, and you're going to benefit from that.
That's
and
right.
it can be mutually transformative. And so I'm so excited about that. So who's going to be telling the stories? I think we already hit that already. We already hit that one pretty hard. People who are just doing the work, right? What does our role look like in this?
It's kind
instigators.
Of, listen, talking about justice is not like, it's not lollipops and vanilla ice cream.
Handling dynamite, right?
It's not an easy topic sometimes, but the great thing is we don't take ourselves too seriously.
Right. If you haven't gathered that already.
We are not experts,
but
we do have a real handle on our own personal values and things that matter to us and how we choose to mold and shape our time here on this planet. And I can speak for Rob, I think, open. I mean, we're open to that adjustment.
Excited to learn.
To looking at that mold and maybe saying, that can shift, that can change based on what we're learning. So we have, as we've talked about, very unique vantage points. I mean, our points of view have a lot of intersectionality, but how we were raised, how we came up is different.
Yeah.
And that is good. That is good because that's additive to the conversation.
Absolutely.
The way you came up is very different, and that'll show up in this in our series.
And that's what I hope we're going to let people listen in on how we process these things. We're going to be learning alongside of you.
That's
if you're listening to this, we're learning with you.
Right.
We're not the experts.
Earlier, you heard Rob say that justice for him, he's like, he probably comes off negative. And for me, it was a really hopeful thing. It was a positive thing. And so just even something as subtle as that, having that conversation around a word and what the visceral reaction is, that's fascinating to the psychology of how we move. So I'm excited about that. So that's our role. Just buckle up and join us for the ride.
It's going to be worthwhile.
At the end of every episode, I think it would be unfortunate if we missed the opportunity to take what we've learned and how we've been inspired through the discussion and just let it sit there. Mm-hmm. I think we, you and I, Rob, should really look at this as like, how do we show up? Like, what are we going to do about this? Like, what is it that we can do to take and extract something from this conversation and take some action? Whether that's learning something through resources, going and doing something within our community. And I think it's a challenge, really. It's at the end of we sort of leave with a charge.
Yeah.
And so we're calling it our show up moment.
I love it.
Like, what is that? What is that for us? And what is that for our listeners? How are we going to show up?
That's right. And we want to model that for each other. We want to be able to let you, not challenge you to do it, right? The listener, we want to share how we, as we're processing what we're learning.
But join us if you'd like.
Yeah, it's a both and. We want to share, hey, here's what we're going to do. And maybe that helps to stir the pot in your mind of, hey, I could do what Jess is doing, right?
Yeah.
Or I could do what Rob is doing, or I could do something completely different.
That's right.
And we're going to just put out a buffet and say, just do something. Just don't take this and just get intellectually obese
right.
with this content. Take a step. It can be the simplest step.
And it can be private. What I like about this is you learn something. Maybe we leave you with a charge, something to go do or take action upon, or say, provide you a resource, something to read, another podcast to listen to, an audiobook, whatever it is. And privately you go and you build your arsenal around this subject that might have been touchy 45 minutes before you listened to this podcast. But now you're saying, you know what? I'm going to take this on and tune in next time and see what my next charge is going to be. That's really special. That'd be very cool.
It is. And perfect timing.
And a movement, right?
New Year's resolutions. Everyone's in that mode.
Let's do it.
Everyone's making them.
Might as well.
Let's make them. Let's stick to them. And I'm excited. I think that's going to be, that's how the plane should land every time.
That's it. Thanks so much for listening to Just, a part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network in partnership with ReCity and Coastal Credit Union. In the spirit of sharing, if you like what you've heard, tell a friend about the show and give us a 5-star rating and review.
Many thanks to DJ P-Dog and producer Low Key for producing the music for our show. New episodes of Just will drop every other week, so subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening. Here's a preview for our next show.
If you take 6 people, start the game of Monopoly, which we all know, you let 2 of them start. They can play for 20 or 30 minutes. When you bring in the second group of people, then those 4 will play for another 20 or 30 minutes. And then you bring in the last 2 people. The results of that game never, ever vary. In fact, I will give this a challenge to anyone. Do this. And if the results are different, send it in. I don't know. I'll eat some trash. I don't know. Whatever. But
you'll buy them the game of Monopoly.
Sure. I'll buy them a Batman Monopoly or whatever. But the results are always the same. The people who win the game are always in the first 2 people to play. And the second place person is always the other one. The people who come in 3rd or 4th are always the second group of people, and the people who come in last are always the same.